You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That was Kota, Itty Bubbers. You're on BFM, and we have something very exciting for you right now. We've got Mokotron in the studio. How are you doing, Mokotron?
Kia ora, pai ana, tamaki, tēnei te mihi. Kia ora.
It's beautiful to have you here. I'm so excited to have you here.
Happy to be here.
We haven't actually spoken about the boiler room since the boiler room, so how did you find your experience?
Terrifying.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, yeah, I'm not used to that. I mean, yeah, I try to play pretty low-key, underground, literally physically under the ground club. So, you know, going into a super brand and everything's being filmed was terrifying.
Yeah.
But I think it was just, you know, just month and month of practice. Mm. Like, it comes out in you.
Yeah.
You know, like, you kind of just become something else for the set. So, yeah, I that kind of happened. I was terrifying right up until I started, and then you just got to own it. You know? And it was kind of that conversation I had with you outside before I went in, where you were saying stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, I just got to own it. Like,
yeah, hard.
It doesn't mean I have to take it to heart, but
yeah,
if people are looking at me this way, I just need to represent that and become something bigger.
100%.
Yeah. So yeah, no, terrifying, but it felt good, and the right crowd were there.
The right crowd. You are so right.
Yeah.
The right crowd was there. It was actually speaking about that conversation we had. We played it earlier on the show, and I don't know if you remember this, but you were talking about the event, and you were like, "This is a space for Māori people, and it's not a separate thing," and you said this line, and you were like, "We're not a slice of the cake, we're the whole fucking cake." And I was like, someone texted and was like, "All timer," and I was like, "Yeah, that's so true." But it's lovely.
I was high on those free Red Bulls, though. Eh?
The free Red Bulls were flowing. Yeah, I feel you. The reason you're up here today is because Waire is out.
Gilda, wow.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah,
long time coming.
It's such a good album. How does it feel to have it out there?
Amazing. I mean, yeah, it's been. Initially, a bit of sadness, you know. I wish I was, you know. My first album was really in 1998, and it never got released because, you know, I was told by, you know, my own dad, you're only one in a million make it in music, and you're not the one, so you're not going to do music. So I think, there was a real sadness of just thinking, I'm halfway through my life now, and I'm only doing this now. So, I mean, that's why the album's called Waire. It's like clear all that shit away, you know. So I mean, pretty crazy things have happened today, like unexpected. I knew people, you know, people you don't know about that are going to come out, and they're waiting, you know. I call them the fifth column. They're the ones no one can predict. So you know, so it's like, I mean, you know, suddenly there's a review of the album in the Rolling Stone.
That's crazy.
And it got put on Spotify New Music Friday. Like, how the hell does a real Māori 140 non-genre tune get on the Spotify New Music Friday for New Zealand and Australia?
Because you make good music and people recognise it.
I do think it's a fifth column. There are people who you don't know who are in positions and they're planted in different places and things happen because of that. And you just gotta, I think it's just, you just gotta keep doing what you're doing because you can't predict what will happen. So yeah, no, it's been lots of crazy things. We thought Spotify was broken because I was like, there's no way we can have 4,000 streams in a couple of hours.
That's crazy.
You know, for underground, that's like 2 months worth of streaming.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, how can that be right? And I was like, okay.
So is there a slight bit of you that's like, I'm stopping, well, I'm not really like an underground artist anymore. I'm hitting the mainstream now, because I remember driving in my car and hearing Ohaki on RNZ.
Yeah.
Well, and I was like, midday, like everyone's listening to RNZ. And I was like, this is the best thing ever. Like, this is amazing.
And that's funny, and I hope RNZ aren't listening. If they are, I refused to do interviews with them for several years because I learned that with my last project, that it's better to be the top of the underground than the bottom of the mainstream.
Facts.
And as soon as you start doing certain gigs, and there's almost a list, and every time you do a project, you will get offered council gigs, but first in Hamilton, then in Auckland, you'll get dumb things like Stardome, you'll get RNZ, and if you take those up, then you become this other thing. It's like those people with council and government money, they want to grab you, and they want to break you first, but they're not where the culture grows.
Yeah.
So I learned that when I was younger, and I was like, oh yeah, just stay underground, work with the underground. Mm. All the great ideas come from the underground, and you have to let it grow there. If your exposure comes from the overground, no one's going to take you, that you've got no credibility. And me and you saw that at the end of Boiler Room, 100%. The people who were left in the crowd for myself, Aotearangi and Te Kura Huia, those weren't the tourists.
Facts. They were people that loved the music. Yeah. And I remember looking over to the right of me, because I was up against the booth, and seeing someone wearing United Tribes of Bass tee and just dancing their ass off. And I was like, this is it. This is the one. Yeah. But this whole album rollout has been... It's felt seamless and really beautiful, like the release of the videos alongside the singles.
Yeah.
You've been working with Sun Return, who just do amazing work. What's it been like working with them?
Yeah, I mean, this whole vision is Zach Arnold from Sun Return. This isn't me. Looks like it's me, but this was Zach. He just planned it all out.
Yeah.
And I just, at best, I laughed at him. At worst, I just rolled my eyes. Like, why would the government give me $10,000 to attack the government? Why would they do that? You know, why would Te Māngai Pāho, who sponsor like kids' music, get the darkest song about dead white ladies? Like, And he said all along, look, we're just going to roll this out. And I never believed him. And now I'm eating my words. But yeah, I mean, that's Zach's vision. They just... they know what they're doing, and I'm really, really lucky to
work with them.
And I should have believed in them, but I didn't.
It's hard though, because when you don't believe it yourself, but then now I guess it's all paying off, and you're like, I see it. They're such a talented person.
Yeah.
You kind of touched on it before. You spoke about how this album is like a clearing, especially Wairia. There's so much karakia through it.
Yeah.
Was it cathartic to make this record?
Yeah, every song. I mean, that's only reason I write, is just to get that stuff out physically, you know, turn it into something so it doesn't just sit as heaviness within me. So, yeah, not every part of it. But, yeah, most of the waiata are karakia. It's quite cool because now that I've drafted them all, I can just stand up on the marae or in meetings and start rambling on and just basically saying song lyrics, and people are like, damn, that's deep, you know?
And they're like, and it's got rhythm to it too.
I just made that up on the spot. Just the waiata of the moment. But
I love that so much. I was wondering how the reception's been, because you kind of talked about the underground, the organic fan base. Is there people reaching out to you who are like, I've loved you for so long, and this record makes me love you even more?
Yeah, but it's some of them are people I know, and it's like, bro, I told you about this 2 years ago. Like, you know me. I saw you last week. Like, it's often, you know, Tamaki's small.
It's so small.
It's often just people I know who are like, I'm so impressed with what you're doing. I'm like, bro, I saw you at the library 2 weeks ago. You weren't impressed to see me.
Yeah.
People don't know. So weirdly, Ko Waikue is the first time that people have sent really aggressively enthusiastic messages.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but people got quite hyped about it, and they were like, I am very excited about this song. So I say, it's weird.
It's real interesting, especially Ko Waikue, because you tap into that roots and like reggae like basis that you came from.
Yeah.
What made you want to like marry these two worlds together, especially on that track?
It's just what I've done for so long. The first proper Mokotron single was Guiding Star, which was me. I had mixed and mastered Ruby Doo's EP.
That's great. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
That's what I used to do for money. I was like, I don't even like this rhythm. I'm going to write my own rhythm to it. That was when I was still writing dancehall and reggae. So it makes sense. I guess it's just what I do. So And I'm a snob. Back in the day when I was doing reggae and dancehall, everyone was doing Roots.
Yeah.
So I did Lovers because I was like, okay, I'll do... No one was doing Lovers. It wasn't acceptable. So everyone had to be like Roots reggae. So I did Lovers. Now everyone's doing Lovers. I'm like, oh, cool, I can go back to Roots now.
Let me re-release these songs. It's so beautiful. One of my favorite parts of it too, because Ko Waikue is like one of those songs where I heard it the first time and I'm like, this is going to be played everywhere I go this summer.
Yeah, maybe. Hope so.
Like it just... Yeah, it's so good. But there's also like... there's so much deeper meaning tapped into it, especially like, you know, the song is about confiscation of land.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's such an important aspect of your work. Do you start with the meaning first and try and craft a song around that? Or is it sonic elements and then you go, this works here?
I have to have the kaupapa first of what it's about. And it doesn't, I don't have to write the lyric. I just have to have, there has to be something in me. So if I don't have that feeling then I can't start. But as soon as I had that idea, like, I need to write a waiata about this, then I can go ahead and record some pūoro or put down some drums or some bass or whatever. But I have to kind of have the kaupapa first.
Yeah, 100%. And you spoke about that when we talked at the Boiler Room too. You're like, it's all intention. Start with the right intention, start with a hard intention, and you'll go far, which is a beautiful thing. I do want to ask a question about, like, I guess your whakaaro on the future of electronic music, because you spoke about your songs being tracks. They're not, you know, they're not songs that tracks for people to reconnect with things that they've been disenfranchised from.
Yeah.
In your mind, how do you envision the future of Indigenous electronic music? What does it look like to you?
I think we're there, to be honest. Like, I think because I get sent a lot of dubs, like, I think we're there. I think if you, like, accept from Ototahi has got some crazy reo Māori, pūoro Māori tunes. Te Manu and Ngai o Matariki have, like, a whole EP, like, of reo Māori dubs, reo Māori pūoro dubs. Netana released half his EP, but I couldn't encourage him to release the other half of, like, jungle tunes, like,
damn,
liquid and jungle tunes. And damn. So it's, I mean, there's just a whole bunch of dubs stacking up, and it's happening, you know. We're seeing the birth of a movement of Māori electronic
100%.
Music. So it's, you know, it does take a while to release tunes, but I've heard them and they're amazing. And there's a big dub influence there, but not just dub. So but
I guess when you think about it and talk about it like that, it kind of seems like, even though you might feel like it's not, the timing is almost perfect. Like, we're at the place right now where we can hear a record like White Air, and it's blasting and people love it, and people that aren't even Māori, do you know what I mean? Like, I one of my favourite parts of being at the Boiler Room, it was a kaupapa Māori event, but there was also just like, there was so many Pākehā fellas, like, do you know what I mean? They were loving it and into it, and respectful dudes too, which is mean, and they were like, that's what it's about. Their music is just
same with the hikoi, it's I don't just write for Māori, it's for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like my biggest supporters are Wahine Pacifica and Wahine Pākehā, to be honest. Like, you know, like, hard, like, just being honest.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Do you have a baby on this album that's like your track and you're like...
Oh, yeah, I mean, Kōkiri. That's the first song. I mean, I've always been able to hear what a Mokotron song sounds like in my head, but I've never got that down. I've never been able to capture that in a song. So Kōkiri is the first and only time that I think I've written an actual Mokotron song.
Yeah.
So for me, the project starts today with Kōkiri. And because you listen, it's just like, 96 strings, heavy bass, angular, off-kilter breaks. It's non-genre specific. Bars, starts with a karakia, tau parapara or pātiri, like a kind of a chant. It's all there. Like, that's what I always wanted to do, but it was just, it's hard to create something that doesn't exist.
And 100%.
Everything I've done has been steps up to that point. So I feel like, Kōkiri, if you only listen to one tune, just listen to the album opener, Kōkiri. Yeah.
I think that resonates with so many artists, especially musical artists who are just trying to find their sound. And that's beautiful that you know and be like, this song is my sound.
Yeah.
And I think I was talking to Zach about the album yesterday and they were like, I'm so proud of the singles that were released, but it's the rest of the album that I love. Like that's, and Ototahi, that last track is like,
oh, you got all the way to the end.
I listened to that album like 10 times. I love it.
I don't think I've listened to it 10 times.
You should run it back. It's a good album.
Okay. I've got to drive home. So.
It's just a little underground album, you know? But no, like, that's like I was talking about it with Molly, and Molly was like, the first time I listened to that song, I hope Molly isn't bad about me saying this, but they were like, the first time I heard that song, I cried. And they're from Ototahi. And
I didn't know that.
Like, it feels like a sonic washing, like the perfect way to end the album.
Yeah.
When you were track listing and sequencing, did you know what was going to be last and what was going to be first?
Ototahi was gonna be first.
Really?
But Zach was like,
you can't big up Ōtautahi by putting, you can't big up Christchurch by putting their song there. But I had to think about it. I was like, nah, it's, I mean, you know, I came through with Alex Stark from Electro Records, and he said, you've always got to put the best songs at the start. People are only going to, they're only going to give you one shot, whether it's on vinyl or digital, the first three songs, it doesn't matter. And if it's records, the first on each side have to be the best tunes. They have to be the ones that capture people. So I was talking to some of you up here the other week about that. But I think I'm also of that feeling that the last song also has to be really powerful. You know, it can't just be the worst song. So I think, actually Ōtautahi was often at the start, but I was like, nah, it's got to be Kōkiri, it's got to hit.
Yeah.
If people are only going to hear one tune on Spotify, on Bandcamp, on vinyl,
this is the tune.
Yeah, that would be the tune. But I think Ōtautahi, putting it at the end of it, is a way of saying, these are some hype tunes, these are political tunes, but Ōtautahi is totally separate. It is, you know, talking about painful stuff, you know, about, it was when I went to Ōtautahi and just heard the stories about the earthquakes, about the terrorist attack, and what the community had done to rebuild, you know, and even just driving through the city and, like, there's no city. There's no central city. They're just empty, you know, concrete lots, and it was just like, for someone growing up in the city to have never seen that city and to go in the heart of the city and there's
nothing,
and
it's
like
nothing.
It was like, that got me, so it's but also more than that, hearing the stories of how people rebuilt, is that people have built cafes and bars and labels and sound systems just because of the importance of being together and ceremony. So that's kind of what the words is about. It was And I think, also taking in some of the older oral traditions about the land and the original kind of inhabitants and people, you know, the iwi from there and the names that they left behind.
Mm.
So,
I think they're perfectly balanced tracks, like, because I've got the vinyl. Go and get yourself the vinyl. Flying out. Go and get yourself the vinyl.
Flying None too, but flying, none, flying out, Flying None, all the Flying Stores.
All the Flyings. Go and get yourself the vinyl.
Yeah.
But I was also listening to it on a DSP streaming service, and listening to the loop of going from Ōtautahi to the first track was like, boom. Like, I really enjoyed it because it felt like it prepared you for the next thing. It didn't feel like a stop to me.
Yeah.
I felt like a continuation, which I really like in albums.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
but you've got the vinyl. The vinyl has the bonus tunes. Tawhito and Hiriri Tiara. Yeah. Yeah, they're not on the digital. Yeah.
I didn't even know there was bonus tracks.
Yeah, bonus tracks. Because that EP was signed to Electro Records, and then Electro Records, the guy disappeared. And so I never knew if it was going to get pressed, and it never did. So
that's wild.
Tawhito and Hiriri Tiara are like my biggest tunes, and they'd never been on vinyl. They're like the only tunes that haven't been on vinyl.
That's so sick.
I was like, nah, you can't just bury those tunes.
They need to be on the world.
Well, I was like, if that's my first and last album, then I need those two tunes on there. So yeah, and they're on the B side at the back.
Please tell me this won't be the last though. I know you got a note, but like, please.
There's another project I do want to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. One day.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, don't know. Yeah.
You're busy.
No. There's another music project I want to do.
Hey.
Yeah.
Like a shift in genre? Are you talking the same?
No, just a shift in BPM. I've always wanted to do like a Maori junglist reggae sound system.
Yeah.
You know, just something. Just Maori roots reggae jungle.
Because like the cultures have so much like crossover and layover.
Yeah.
To this day, you'll hear like uncles and aunties talking about the time Bob Marley came.
Oh yeah, hard. Yeah, but with the double up beats from the jungle. Yeah.
So
that's
beautiful.
Something I want to do one day. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
I've had the pleasure of seeing you a couple of times. But when's the next time people can come and see you live?
I'm playing live at Whiki Fortress on the 13th of December with Hasji. 13th of December at Whiki Fortress in Onehunga. That's a free event. That's like a pop-up gallery at Whiki Fortress. And I think I'm playing at 7 p.m. And then that'll be the earliest set I'm going to play. It's like
that'll be crazy, like the sun's still up.
Yeah, I'll have to play Bossa Nova or something. And then there's this thing called BFM. They've got a Christmas party, 20th of December.
That's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited for that. We actually have a single pass to give away to the Christmas party right now because it's a special occasion. So if you want to come to the Christmas party and see Mokotron play, text them 5395, your name, your B card number, and your favorite track off White Air. Because why not? Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you so much.
Thanks for having me. What?
Album of the Summer.
Woo!
Let's listen to Kowai Kwe now. Yeah. Kowai Kwe.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.